Good evening and welcome to Q95's Prime Evening News for today, Friday, November 20th. I am your presenter, Lakeisha Labasir. In the headlines, Roseau South MP Joshua Francis calls Prime Minister Skerrit's statements about the closure of DCP political. OEC are struggling to find agreement on one nominee for Commonwealth Secretary General. Hummingbird Air President advises passenger flights to Dominica will resume in late December. Deal struck to bolster Antigua's fishing sector, and more Mexico migrants leaving U.S. than arriving. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica. Details coming up.
Wait till Black Friday. Redeem your Blackjack 21 points now at Courts from Monday, November 23rd for an additional 21% off at Courts, including already reduced items. Just present your cards, totaling 21. And it's that easy. You heard right. Black Friday DT starts this Monday at Courts. Courts, bringing value home.
After listening to statements made by Prime Minister Skerrit about the shutdown of DCP, Roseau South MP Honorable Joshua Francis says he regards the utterances of Mr. Skerrit as rather dubious. Francis contends that some questions need to be asked and Mr. Skerrit needs to provide some clarification to the public.
I just listened to the utterances of the Honorable Prime Minister and I must say that his statement is rather dubious. A number of questions must be asked. A number of clarifications must be submitted to the public.
Francis stated that there is a multiplier effect to one losing their source of income. He explained that if one individual carries the financial burden in a family and they suddenly become unemployed, then the entire family will suffer.
At the end of the day, not only the employees will be affected, there is a multiplier effect. Assuming there is one person in a household who worked, and that person happened to be an employee at Colgate-Palmolive, it means that everybody in that household is now unemployed. So that person who carried that economic burden now has been removed from the job market, and as such, that entire family is going to be affected.
Francis further stated that in order to lead a country, one must understand their job. However, for a leader who has been in power for a significant number of years, one must question their maturity in understanding Dominica's economy.
So that's where the hypocrisy comes in. That's where the double standard comes in. And the whole question is whether these are just nice words. Because leadership is something that takes seriousness. And to lead a country, you have to understand what you're doing. I mean, this is a prime minister who has been in power for a significant number of years, and one would have thought that there is some level of maturity that would have taken place as far as understanding the economy of Dominica. That one of the biggest weaknesses.
He says that one of the biggest weaknesses of the DLP administration in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Erica is that it lacks focus on the economy in order to ascertain a proper way forward. In light of the shutdown of the DCP factory, he views the move to purchase DCP factory as just a political act.
One of the biggest weaknesses of this government post Tropical Storm Erica is that they have not really focused on the economy. They have not really put any task force to make a proper assessment of our economy and to ascertain how we're going to move forward. This is how you take your business. Now that Colgate-Palmolive has decided to shut its doors, Prime Minister quickly trying to do some damage control. But this is just a political move. We need more than just political talk in this country. We are now in an economic crisis.
Meanwhile, journalist Carlisle John-Baptist is questioning statements made by Prime Minister Skerrit with respect to the DLP government's proposal to acquire Dominica Coconut Products. This as the company shuts down operations, laying off over 90 employees. In an official statement Thursday, Prime Minister Skerrit said he will be meeting with those affected soon, as the government intends to provide them with the necessary support to mitigate against the loss of their employment. John-Baptist, speaking on Q95's Hot Seat Friday morning, dismissed the announcement by the Prime Minister as a political statement.
And I ask myself a few questions. How is Dominica going to purchase, if you will, from what the Prime Minister say, Colgate-Palmolive? One, the equipments, if he's speaking about the equipments, then if he purchases the equipments, you know, the raw materials, etc.
John Baptist, from what I gather, the equipment is no more. So what are you buying, the land and the building?
Well, Musumat, so to me, I mean, why make those cheap political statements? And that is my problem, man. That is the difficulties that I have. He's stating that government, they've spoken with those people and they're going to purchase. Purchase what? Purchase the building? What support? What mitigating support? Is the prime minister going to pay the loans for them? Is he going to pay their mortgages? Is he going to... What is exactly is he saying? This is cheap political talk.
Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Tourism, Gerard Zsa-Zsák, says despite challenges faced in the sustainable management of the marine managed area, he's encouraged by the potential of the Soufrière Scottsdale Marine Reserve, SSMR, to contribute to Dominica's tourism product. This comes following a site visit and tour of the reserve last Friday. He says, and I quote, "Although there are challenges with respect to preserving the integrity of this marine environment and balancing the competing needs of the various stakeholders, from the fishers to the Dominica Water Sports Association, this area with proper management has the potential to generate income for community members and could also serve to further enhance our profile as a top dive destination in the globe," end of quote. Located to the south of the island, the SSMR spans from Point Michel to Grand Bay, includes over 27 dive sites, and is shared amongst fishers, recreational visitors, and the marine creatures who live in the designated nursery. Tour organizer and CATS communication expert Iodel Andrew is encouraged by the sentiments of Mr. Zsa-Zsák. She sees potential for introducing new sports like windsurfing to the area. She's also hopeful that through this tour, government representatives will be further influenced to make the necessary legal changes to support the management initiatives for the SSMR through the CATS2 program. So far, Andrew and her team have met with the Ministry of Education to discuss the integration of marine science education in the national curriculum in an effort to raise awareness of the marine environment and climate change and influence students to pursue careers in that field. A kids' fishing clinic for community areas students took place Thursday, and activities conclude with a national validation consultation at the Fortium Hotel today, where a white paper will be distributed to participants. Dominica joins Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia and St. Vincent and the Grenadines in this special program. Commonwealth leaders will meet in Malta from November 27th to 29th, and the Caribbean has not yet reached a consensus on which of its two candidates it will nominate for the post of Commonwealth Secretary General. The two candidates are Baroness Patricia Scotland, nominated by Dominica, and Sir Ronald Sanders, nominated by Antigua and Barbuda. Dominica's Foreign Affairs Minister Francine Baron says the two countries will meet to discuss the matter, to see whether an agreement can be reached. She says it is important to consider which of the two candidates is likely to be able to command the majority votes within the Commonwealth.
We are in a situation where we have two candidates now from the Caribbean region. And it is important going forward to consider which of the candidates are likely to be able to command the majority votes within the Commonwealth. What has been decided is that the two countries from the Caribbean who have candidates will discuss the matter to see whether we can arrive at an agreement moving forward. However, it's something that has to be discussed. You have to look at all the pros and cons and take into account all the different factors, and then we will see going forward whether there can in fact be a consensus from the Caribbean.
Francine Baron was addressing the 62nd meeting of the OECS Authority this week in Dominica. She She says while three persons have been nominated for the post, there is still an opportunity for other members of the Commonwealth to nominate candidates. Hummingbird Air will resume passenger flights to Dominica in late December, according to president of the airline, Sam Raphael. He said the airline had taken a decision to suspend all passenger flights in order to restructure its operating procedures and make management changes after a recent landing incident in St. Lucia. The company is taking time out to retrain our captains and make key personnel changes to better serve the traveling public, he said. He apologized to the traveling public for having suspended flights during the busy Christmas season. However, he feels that the decision was necessary in the long-term interest of the company and passenger safety. Raphael is reminding the public that the company still operates cargo and shopnet delivery flights between the U.S. Virgin Islands and Kenfield Airport every Monday and Thursday. He added that the directors of Hummingbird Air recognize the importance of air access to Dominica and plans to continue to provide safe and reliable service to the island. The dental unit of the Ministry of Health will be conducting an oral health survey from December 8, 2015 to February 18, 2016. According to Chief Dental Officer Dr. Eileen John, poor oral health has unfavorable effects on the public, particularly in children. She says based on clinical observations, they realize that a number of persons, particularly adolescents and the elderly, are reporting a high prevalence of caries, abscesses, extractions, and gum disease. She says further that they have also noticed a high incidence of oral cancers lately, hence the need for an oral health survey at this time. Dr. John says the survey will seek to compare the results obtained in the 2006 survey and introduce methods aimed at improving the oral health condition here.
The results of the survey that was obtained in 2006 showed that 47.8% of all the children were caries-free. 38.8% and 41.8% of 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds respectively had at least one decaying permanent tooth. The 6-year-old had a mean of 2.11 decayed, missing due to extraction or temporary filling, and a mean of 0.4 decayed, missing or filled permanent teeth. The DMFT scores for 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds were 1.20 and 1.68 respectively. The cavity severity was higher among the 15-year-olds than among 12-year-olds. Differences were also observed by the school district, and there were no differences observed by sex or ethnicity due to the lack of interview at the time.
Dr. John gives an overview of the survey to be officially launched at the end of this month.
We're going to have a training session for the members of staff, the field supervisor, the data entry clerks, from the 30th of November to the 4th of December 2015. After the training and calibration of staff, the data collection will begin. On the 8th of December, as I said earlier on. Now, you will have a questionnaire that will be administered to the clients. The children of the 6-year-olds, the questionnaire will be sent to the parents so that they can fill it out prior to the survey. The 12-year-olds, the parents will also be asked to fill in the questions for them. Now, there will also be a consent form that the parents has to sign prior to that survey. Now, after the questionnaires, you have the assessment form that we're going to take. There will be a clinical examination with an assessment form that you will be looking at different aspects that we really want to take into consideration during that survey. A group that we are looking at is the 6-year-old, 12-year-old, and the 15-year-olds in the primary schools, 16 to the 19-year-old adolescents, and then the 35 to 44 and 65 to 74.
She says at the end of the survey, it is expected that information gained will be used by the Ministry of Health to provide evidence-based data which will inform oral health policy and program in Dominica. The survey cost into the tune of EC108,649.53 is being undertaken by the Dental Unit of the Ministry of Health in collaboration with PAHO. Bus drivers in Dominica are being urged to make their health a priority. This call came from local bus driver Augustine Pascal. Speaking at a health fair at St. Joseph recently, Pascal said, "Too often, bus drivers pay little or no attention to their health status and focus only on making money."
I have a word for the bus drivers. I want to let them know that, you know, majority of we don't look at our health status because, you know, all we like to do is think of maybe making a dollar every day go on the road, and sometimes we don't eat on time, we don't check the doctor, we don't check our health. I would like to send a message to them. You need to check your health, because without health, the dollar you're thinking of, you can't make it.
This particular group has been targeted by health officials in the past to make their health more of a priority. In more news, the Antigua government has struck a multi-million dollar deal with a Japanese company to acquire equipment that will improve the fisheries sector. US$3.5 million worth of new fisheries equipment will be installed at a number of locations in the country. This news came from Fisheries Minister Arthur Nibs at a press briefing on Thursday. Nibs indicated that the money, which is a grant, would be used for two purposes. Fisheries will be receiving a refrigerated truck so that they can be able to go from area to either distribute their fish products or to buy fisheries products, Nibs said of the first purpose. As to the second area, the minister said between Paham, Earlings, Mount Obama, Freetown, Friars Hill Road, and Codrington, they will receive special radar systems put in place specifically for fisheries. He continued, "We have had an agreement with the various telecoms providers here for us to utilize their towers, so the radar systems will be mounted on top of these towers." And more Mexicans are leaving the U.S. than migrating there, reversing a long-standing flow, a study has found. More than 1 million Mexicans and their families, including U.S.-born children, returned to Mexico from 2009 to 2014 after living in the U.S., the report by Pew Research Center found. Meanwhile, only 870,000 Mexicans moved into the U.S. during the same time period, creating a net loss of 140,000 people. An uneven economic recovery in the U.S. was cited as a reason behind the shift. Industries where migrants typically found work, such as construction, have not rebounded since the U.S. emerged from a recession in 2009. While increased border security has been an issue in the U.S. presidential race, the Pew Center found that existing border controls have also made it harder for undocumented Mexicans to enter the U.S. And that's the Prime Evening News, but first a recap of the headlines. Roseau South MP Joshua Francis calls Prime Minister Skerrit's statements about the closure of DCP political. OECS struggling to find agreement on one nominee for Commonwealth Secretary General. Hummingbird Air President advises passenger flights to Dominica will resume in late December. Deal struck to bolster Antigua's fishing sector, and more Mexico migrants leaving U.S. than arriving. The news was brought to you through the kind compliments of Courts Dominica. Remember, if you missed any of our newscasts, log on to our website www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. On behalf of the Q95 News team, I have been your presenter, Lakisha Labasir.